What is the best way to service humanity and the world? Right here, right now, the On Air Brands Live podcast.
You are now tuned in to the On Air Brands podcast.
Hey, folks, and welcome back to the On Air Brands Live podcast. I'm your co-host with many hosts here. Welcome back to the show. So grateful to be here. How are you, Lisa?
Good morning. The host with the most.
Hostess with the most.
Hostess with the most.
What's going on, Josh Carey?
Yeah, what a powerful opening, Eric. What's the best way to serve humanity?
Hey, no pressure.
Right? Yeah.
Just no pressure.
You ask the light, you know, flip party questions.
So flippy. Yeah. So flippant. But yeah, we're going to get deep on this episode, if that didn't frame the picture for you, because we have an amazing guest coming on board very, very soon. But before we get into that and those topics and dive deep, Josh has something that he wants to share with us. What's today, Josh?
Today in the United States of America, it is Veterans Day. And we just wanted to give a shout out to the veterans out there, including my very own father, David G.
David G, who
is always a good part of our system here, and certainly my role model and mentor. It's Veterans Day, so much love to you.
Much love to each and every person who serves this nation currently and has served. So we greatly appreciate and love you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Shout out to my dad, too. Army, representing the Army. Yeah. Your dad is representing the?
The Navy.
The Navy.
Oh, there you go. So there's a shout out for my brother-in-law who's in the Marines. So
okay. Air Force? Anybody?
Get it all. Yeah, yeah.
Coast Guard?
Oh, well, ESAR. ESAR was in the, he was in the Israeli Air Force. Wow. But
okay. Yeah. All right. So.
We just took a left turn.
He served
it's all
a different
good.
Nation. That's okay, though.
So talking about serving humanity. But seriously, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, I think we're going to get pretty deep because the man, the myth that's here on the show today wrote a book called The Essential Revolution. And I think we're pretty honored to be here with him today because he's launching his book with us, from
that's
my understanding.
Amazing.
Right? Yeah. So today is his virtual launch.
Yeah, 11-11. And if I'm not mistaken, in a few minutes, it will actually be 11-11 at the time, 11-11. So yeah. If somebody could please ping us when 11-11, maybe Jake will come on camera to give us the 11-11, just for fun, right? Because
absolutely.
If nothing else, it's fun, isn't it?
It's so funny because we started the show at 11, but then it's going to get even more 11-y. 11-11-11. Right. Well, a lot of ones.
So if you wonder where to get your fix of 11-y's, you're in the right place because in about 8 minutes, it's going to get very 11.
And that only happens once a year. So this is it. Wait, take advantage.
Oh,
11-11.
Oh, well, 11, sure. 11, sure. Right? You remember, what was it? 9 years ago it was actually 2011. People got silly with that nonsense.
So yeah, today we're gonna dive deep because Michael Guinness wrote a book called The Essential Revolution, and on his website, The Essential Revolution, it says November 11th, 2020, the Essential Revolution begins. So
wow.
With that, Jake, let's bring on our dude, Mike McGuinness. ¿Cómo está, mi amigo?
Pura vida. Como decimos en Costa Rica. How are you doing?
This is always the trick, right? Because I know about 10 words in Spanish and I could fake it really well.
And he's calling your bluff.
And everywhere I go, I was in Japan too. I'm just a mimic. I could parrot anything and any, you know, I do impressions and stuff. And then people automatically, and I'm like, oh,
and
sorry.
You're standing there.
But I'm aware that you speak Spanish, my friend. That's why I did that. And thanks for being on the show, brother.
Thank you for having me. Thanks, sir. It's pretty, you guys are the first big ones that have me on the day and launching the book with me at 11, whatever it is, all those numerous numbers. That's cool.
That's great.
Congratulations on the book. way.
And a little connection here. Mike comes our way via Amanda Johnson, who is from the comment section fame right about now. Everybody can, there she is from the comment section fame. So I know you come to us via Amanda Johnson. I have a wonderfully wonderful rich history with Amanda myself. She is also helping me complete my book, which is I was just talking to the team about it prior. This is, I'm literally 20,000 words into my book, which is about halfway or so, which is pretty good. I'm very proud of that feat. But March of this past year, I got sidetracked. I don't remember what happened in our life that March. Something significant in March, but I don't know why it was March. No, but seriously, March came and that just derailed me. And I'm just happy to have picked myself up through this journey and through what we're building here with Podmax. That I just still have yet to get back into the groove of getting that book completed. But so Amanda's been my editor throughout the process as well.
Safe to call her your editor in chief?
Something. I mean, I even qualified that before. To call her an editor is sort of downplaying that role, because we would meet every single week and she'd give me specific tangible feedback on my written words. And we were just building the book together. So
is she more like
orchestrator of orchestrators? Sorry.
Yeah, you're right, Lisa. Go ahead.
Yeah, like an accountability partner as well.
Oh, for sure. Because every week I'd want to make sure to get my words written, right. Send her the next chapter. And then, you know, she'd review it and we would meet for an hour and it was just fantastic. It was legit.
So, yeah, folks, we're going to get into a little bit about Mike McGinnis and what he's launching today. Mm-hmm. But Mike, give us a little bit of a backdrop about Mike McGinnis before the book was birthed.
Yeah. Well, I've lived in Costa Rica for more than half of my life. I've been here for 30 years now. And I've lived an interesting life of ups and downs and different paths. And, you know, and this most current one has led me to the writing of the book, which I would call it the path of my, we'll call it spiritual awakening, for lack of a better term. Which isn't for me a woo-woo thing so much. It's a real thing, and I believe that I know what's happening on the planet right now is pushing us all towards the same in some way or another. And that's basically where I'm at today. And the past was crazy, and it was beautiful and awesome and scary and all of it, but it all led up to this moment, and I'm really grateful for that. Thanks.
Yeah. The past is always the past, right? I mean, like right now, the second I'm getting like a Neil deGrasse Tyson when he talks about like, you're talking to me from the past.
Good.
I am like 0.0001 seconds behind. But yeah, Mike, it's definitely a topic that we sort of scratch the surface on and sometimes dive into the psyche and the mental stress or health of individuals, especially during these crazy times where, you know, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of things going on in the world that you can get caught up in. And how do we navigate? How do we stay healthy? Does your book sort of broach those topics and offer solutions or tips? Tell us a little bit about the mission behind why you wrote the book and then you can get into like, you know, what it's about.
Yeah. So the reason why I wrote it was I was called to help others, achieve or move forward in their, we'll call it the path of that awakening out of what used to be and into a better version of yourself. And that's sort of what happened with me in a big way. And it took me out of what we call service to self, the small s, to service to self, capital S. And meaning the one that is all of us actually. And it's a deep conversation, but it's something that happened inside of me, and it's available for everybody on the planet. And it is going to happen to everybody on the planet when and where and what lifetime is not for any of us to say until we choose to walk down that road and including what's happening right now in our world. This is a big push towards that. So my book does cover the solution to getting us, we'll call it, out of this situation, which isn't an escape. It's going into it and through it. Because we're all being called to do this. And and we all also made the choice, as crazy as it sounds, to come here during this incredible time, as scary as it is and as crappy as it is. We actually, believe it or not, came here for this, because on the other side of it is a peace and something inside that none of us maybe have felt since we were children. And it's there and it's available and it's coming. But when, that's for us to decide.
Now we're talking about I'm sorry. Jake's just giving me this sign. I think it's 11:11.
11:11.
It's 11:11.
So I don't know what we do. We really didn't plan for this, but
acknowledge.
It's 11:11. Perfect. Thank you, Jake.
Acknowledge and feel what it feels like to be on the other side of all this madness right now, how great it is for us to come out of this and be better than it was before. And that's what we can do right this second. Feel into that.
So this awakening we're talking about, like you said, is absolutely a personal choice of the individual. Is that right?
That's correct. It needs the person to, at one point, voluntarily say, okay, I've hit my bottom, we'll call it, you know. And that bottom doesn't necessarily have to be a drug addiction, alcohol addiction, no, sex addiction. It can just be, I'm done feeling like this. Mm-hmm. And what else is there? There must be more. There has to be more than me chasing money or chasing girls or chasing the perfect husband or just keeping busy all the time so I don't have to be stuck in here. And we have all come here to face this in one way or another. There's no escape.
How do you find, because we've spoken about this in some senses before, and I often wonder, because I know that all of my life, I've had those moments of, I see what's happening. I enough of that. And then, you know, over a short amount of time, I just revert back into my old shtick. Until a few years ago when that shtick changed, and twice, you heard it twice, right? In like 10 seconds shtick. No, it's three times. but then it really just changed until I guess it was meant to change. So what else needs to happen or be in place from when the individual does say, enough's enough, I'm done, right? Because so many times we could say, oh, I say that all the time.
Yeah. What it looked like for me. So I only speak from my own personal experience because that's just all I got. And I never try to tell people they should or shouldn't do this. That's not my world. But I say that you, first of all, already know the answers. They're inside of you. When you come to that place of saying, I'm done with this, I want something new. The reason why people have that epiphany and something feels great and they make some changes for, it could be a day, 2 days, a month, whatever it is. And then they find themselves falling back into the old pattern is because that's exactly what it is. It's an old pattern of what we call programming. Mm. And we live in a collective, meaning a lot of people, most of the people on the planet are in that same collective programming. So it has to come to a place where you say, when you say I'm done, then what that work is just starting. That's when you start to go, some little crappy thought comes in and you go, wait a minute, why am I bothered by that guy that just said X or just did that, or he drove by or she did this or that. Why am I mad about my ex-wife this? Why? And start there. And if you start there and you start to what we call clean, you clean up the caca, all the stuff that's causing these problems.
What did he say?
That's a universal word, yeah, caca.
Go ahead.
Caca's okay, right?
Yeah, it's fun to say.
Yeah.
And that's for our 7-year-old audience. So thank you for keeping
it. Which, clean. Hey, my daughter does watch this.
Hey.
I saw you on TV today.
Oh, I know. Isn't it great? Yeah. All right.
Go ahead, Mike. Sorry. We left off at caca. Okay.
It's just looking at that and what we call diving deep into our what we call shadows. Like, what is it in me? Because one thing with the problems we have, if you ever notice something, no matter what the problem is, guess who's always there? Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Always. So whose problem really is it?
Right. Yeah.
It's mine.
Isn't that the answer? But most don't visit or go there because it's hard. right? It's hard to look in the mirror and say, that's on me, or take ownership, or, you know, because that's peeling the layers back. That's opening a box that I might not be able to close again, right? So how do you talk to people? And I know you don't live in that world of should and could and, you know, how to do, but, you know, is there advice ever given to those that are that type of person that I'm the victim here, everyone's fault but mine? Like, how do we help individuals like that to see?
Yeah, that's my book. That's what it's about, really. It's about, because the victim mentality is the reason why where we are at right now. It's the reason for all of it. It's the reason for everything, even before this, every problem we have. It's because we're pointing the finger outward. And what we got to do, first of all, is we have to get to a place where we're not so concerned with them, because there are some that are going to say, I'm not ready. No, it's your fault. We have to actually let what we call it, Dimitri, the main character in the book, calls let them go in love. Meaning, at some point, we've got to separate ourselves from those who are doing that, because if we don't, then we're going to stay in that, we'll call it a vibration, right? So we're staying in that vibration. If we stay in that vibration, it'll get to a place where you won't be able to anymore. You will have to exit yourself from the presence. Like, you know, if you've got some guy that's on crack and he's walking up the road, and he's like, hey, can I have you give him some coins, and he says, can I jump in the car with you? You're gonna be like, well, no, and I've gone a little too far. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's the same thing. So in vibration, we need to also separate ourselves at some point, not worry about them, because not everybody's going to wake up. It might not be their journey. They might have to fall harder. It's only your perception of what's happening, what's coming in for you. That's where you need to fix, not worry so much about them. That's what and when you say that, I don't say should or not. I say should if they want to follow the path of awakening. I'll say, yeah, you probably don't want to be a victim anymore. That's a should that I would say, but I don't say like a global universal should, everyone should. No, it is as it is right now. And it's perfect. Even the crappy stuff, it's okay. There's some perfection, everything that's happening. You know, I always say the drive-by shooter is in his perfection. As crazy as that sounds, that's not my world. I want nothing to do with that. I don't want to be around them. I'm going to help. If the brother comes up, says, hey, I need some, okay, here, come on. But I'm telling you, there's a reason why each and every person is doing what they're doing. It's crazy as it sounds, it's perfect.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you get there, then nothing bothers you anymore, right? If you can literally get there and know that, then it's the game over. You're like, okay.
So that's basically you're saying that if you get there, meaning if you get to the bottom and you start climbing back up, right? The bottom is there, and then you're the journey back up. So my question is, do people hit the bottom multiple times? Sometimes it might be hitting bottom harder. Sometimes it might be softer, that, you know, it's not, you know, this big grand awakening. But, you know, is that something that if we really pay attention to our life, we'll see that, you know, it has happened multiple times. Sometimes it's just more impactful, or we can feel it or see it more.
Yeah. The character in the book, the we'll call him the leader of this new world, he says that he suggests that people to call this your bottom. So we could call whatever it is that is, it's like this place that we're at, this is the bottom right here. This is it. I refuse to make another and some people do have to hit it again and again and again. And you know, we can use really nothing really exists until we say that it is. There is nothing there. So you could say he had to hit a bottom again and again and again because the comeback up is going to be so great that way. See, we can actually change our perception of like, oh, poor him. He's hit the bottom 7 times. No, awesome. Because on his way back up, it's going to even be better. See, there's something that's having experience through us, you know, and that big something is a capital S. I'm going to put it that way instead of using woo-woo words right now. And that thing, it's just loving it all because it's having the experience of its own, what it is and what awakening is. Because when you get the goosebumps because somebody says something inspiring, guess what that is? That's the big S speaking, coming through you. You're having an very powerful experience at that point. So all of these things are, as crazy as it sounds, necessary in a way for us to really find out who and what we are.
Would you liken, you reminded me of a book that I read a long time ago, I want to say it was called The Unconscious Evolution or something. I got to find it and then I'll put it in the comments here. But it talked about, and this is kind of reminding me of that, everything you're talking about in your book and where we are in this, metaphorically speaking, crossroads in the world, where we can either evolve as a species and a consciousness for good, or like in a cocoon state, like butterflies in a cocoon state, that's where we are right now. Or we could just stay there and rot or turn into a butterfly. Is that making right. sense? Is that sort of something in alignment with some of the messages in your book? Like, we are now at a point in time where we're either going to evolve and metamorphosize into something beautiful or not.
Yeah, it is like that. And one could say that it's when is it going to happen? Because no matter what, we are going to evolve out of this age. And the question is it going to be 1,000 years, or is it going to be 5 or 10? But what it requires is something called unity consciousness, meaning that we all get together and we say, okay, basta, we're done with this. This is what we're going to do. We are going to join hands, and we are not going to let whatever that thing out there is that's trying to affect us and bring us down with negative vibration. And that means the people who are right now doing this, that means it is going to happen. Is it happen now, or does it happen after we've destroyed everything? Mm-hmm. Again, this is for us to decide. And that's what this book is about as well. Yeah.
So important. It's so important because I 100% subscribe to what you're saying so far, and the constant battle is I feel outnumbered. I feel like 1 out of 100,000 people are against what I believe in. And whenever I step out into the world, I see something that I don't agree with. And I'm like, how do you change all of these people? Like, okay, well, I'll start with myself. I'm going to start working on myself and put that positive vibration out there. Because I really feel like we are at a time more than ever, Michael, and I'm guessing you agree to this, there's so much divide. There's so many reasons for people to hate each other. And they're like, I don't like you because of this reason. I don't like you because of that reason. I don't like the color or this or your politics or that or a mask or not. It's just so many reasons. When has that ever happened in humanity and in the world? Thanks, social media.
But I think it's a lot of it is also the messaging. So if you stop, whether the messaging is what you believe in or what you don't believe in, just stop listening and change your attention. Then that, to me, that's also a way to say, okay, you know, I'm not going to feed into, you know, what people that agree with me and don't agree with me. Exactly. I'm just going to watch or pay attention to or take in something else.
What do you subscribe to? And I know Michael had something to say there, but yeah. I just wanted to throw a thought, and you can either take this thought or run with yours. But I'll never forget, there was this video of Ronald Reagan, and he was giving this press conference, a State of the Union. And in there, he started going down the path of, and it was almost like he was going to reveal that there's other life out there and evidence of it, and he's seen it. But he kind of just tiptoed around it and said, you know, what if there were something to land on the planet? We would all realize as a human race, we're one thing. There was no black. There is no white. We all bleed red. It's exactly the same. We need that. We need the, what's the word? I'm thinking of the context. Right? We need context. We need something to gauge that, wait a minute, put it in perspective for us. We're the same. We're all the same. And why are we not acting as such? Why do we act like we're all completely different?
Right.
And I'll tell you, the answer to that is that a lot of people haven't been touched by something inside that, where their heart opens up and realizes that whatever that person's doing over there, they're doing the best, whatever they did to me, supposedly, they were doing the best they could with what they had in their toolbox at the time. And so we start, it's all about this blame game. And that's what's happening when you see this one's against this one and that. And you know, for me, I'm guilty of it too, because I do not like freedom being taken away. I'm really, really about, like, wait a minute, this thing's got to slow down here, you know? And so I do get a little agitated when I see the ones out there that want to tell me how it's going to be and who's going to be putting what in my body. That stuff really, you know, and so I'm guilty of the getting a little pissed off too sometimes, but I have to like come in here and go, okay, wait a minute. You know, I mean, these people, they're doing the best they can with what they have. For some reason they're asleep and they believe that these people out here are giving us these orders and that are saying they think what's best for us, that they really believe that that's true. And they don't have anything else to go by. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to focus on something you just said there. And then also something you said, a segment prior that we just moved past, but it deserves reiteration here, is that when we are in our day-to-day world and we see something that we could deem inappropriate or disturbing or decisive or destructive, it's our job to keep that into self-perspective and say, okay, that might be right for them. I don't have to get drawn in and sucked into that emotional situation. I can acknowledge it, but I can still distance and remove myself from it because this is their life and this is their reality right now.
That's right. And that's a great point. But then they even go a little deeper than that. If the thing does eat at you, then what that means is that there's something in you yes. that is not resolved. Like there's a certain man out there that a lot of people have a problem with right now. I've never had a problem or liked or anything. I've just been kind of neutral.
Yeah.
But there's something in that person that reminds him of their father or he has too much and has whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But you see, I don't have that. I've had it with other people. I've had my own stuff with other situations. Sure. But if that's there, then that means that it's a mirror. It's mirroring something inside of you that has not been resolved. Every single time. Are you willing to look at it? Well, that's the question, right?
Correct.
100%. When I got to that realization that if I see someone or something that's happening that I don't necessarily agree with or angers me, I started to only realize recently that, okay, what is it about me that I need to fix? What is it about me that I'm projecting onto that situation or person that I need to fix and figure out? So I think that is so heady, or that is so difficult for others to sort of grasp and realize. Like you said, they don't want to open the box. They don't want to look in the mirror. But I think also another thing that's helped me along these lines, and again, recently, is to try my best not to pass judgment on anything or anyone. Because once you start to put labels on things, then you're stuck with that belief and you're not being empathetic. You're not figuring out what is their story. You're not even giving them a chance to have a story. I'm not going to pass judgment on you. You are where you are because most likely if I were born of your parents, lived in your house and your environment and all the situations happened exactly the same, I probably would make the same exact decision you made.
Yeah. That's and they're, what I liken it to is the word trigger. Sure. Like it's people trigger you. But what's important to remember is just as much as you trigger other people. And I think, you know, and I, with clients, I have this all the time where they have a reaction to something and I have to, in my mind, go, it's not me. It's something I triggered, you know, because in real estate, there can be a lot of emotion involved. I triggered something or the situation triggered something that made them react. Mm-hmm. And then you don't pass judgment. Then you just say, hopefully they can figure out what triggered them and they can fix it.
Yeah,
they can be a better version of themselves by acknowledging that they were triggered.
Yeah. What we're talking about, like Mike said, if you're in a situation and somebody angers you in some way, whether it was directly to you or you're watching it in observation and you were, as Lisa said, triggered and you get angry. As Mike pointed out, that is just because it is an unresolved emotion within you. A personal story, you know my history, 40 plus years spent in hiding all of my potential, all of my skill and my ability in exchange for seeking approval, didn't want to rock the boat. As I've become more and more aware of why that was taking place in the past, now in my current life, I'm able to know that I didn't want to rock the boat. I didn't want to show my true potential because I knew deep down that it might trigger something in you. It might trigger envy or jealousy or upset or concern or despair in you, make you feel insecure about your worth or what you're taking action on. So I just said, I wouldn't be able to stick up for myself if I triggered that in somebody else. So I avoided the whole thing. Now, thankfully, I'm able to see it. And all these years in the past, jealousy is a real thing, very ugly word for a lot of us. But as we're saying, the reason that I would feel jealous is because I would know that they're doing something that I am darn capable of doing, but choosing not to. So if only I said, well, wait a minute, I should be inspired because they're showing me that it's possible. They're showing me how it's done. They're showing me the outcome, the ability, but I wouldn't take that move. So I became jealous and angry over it. If I reversed it and just said, thank you, this is great, now I'm going to do it, we'd be better off. But that's why I'm here today.
And what you're talking about, and I want to touch on a couple of things, but what you're talking about right there is changing your perspective. That's it. You are the overlord of your life. You are the one that can literally choose everything. What this means, and what we live in a world of meaning. This means this and this means that, right? And we were shown that certain things mean this when we were nine, and you know, whatever. And so we get into this pattern of meaning, and what we don't understand sometimes is that we can actually change that. And that's what you did and do. And that is the key to a huge part of this thing called awakening, is when we can actually go, oh, wait a minute, I can choose to see this another way. And as Eric was talking about, you know, when you feel into what somebody else is going through and realizing that, wow, if the same circumstance would have happened, that's called compassion. So compassion and perception, you know, that's like two really big words in the work that we do.
Is this, I don't know a lot about it, but what I'm hearing, it sounds like emotional intelligence, which I know is a big corporate word and a big just overall kind of, you know, perspective, self-help, that type thing. Having emotional intelligence that you are paying attention to not just what's happening and kind of going through your everyday, but really taking in why it's happening, why, like I said, why people are responding to you a certain way, or in turn, why you are responding. I don't know if that kind of relates also to what you're writing about in the book, to having that emotional intelligence to try, like you said, to hit bottom and then come back up.
Yeah, I've never heard that term. I've been living in the jungle for 30 years, so there's a lot of stuff I haven't heard, the corporate stuff.
You know, shtick either? Have you heard shtick, or is that a Jersey thing?
Well, he's still shtick.
Okay,
he's still getting used to it.
I know Parker.
I'm in Costa Rica.
Yeah, but it's the same kind of thing, it sounds like. Yeah.
I want to talk about what you've been doing in Costa Rica for 30 years. Where'd you come from? The USA?
Yeah, I came from California when I was 23. I came down here.
Was it like, hey guys, I'm going for a 2-week break and you never left? Or what was the, you couldn't have said, I'm going for 30 years of my life. Wow. What did you say?
I just done this kind of motivational course thing. And I realized that, wow, I'm stuck here. I had this dream of going to this, I'm a surfer, you know, and like, I'm like, I want to go to Costa Rica. And I don't think I would ever done it if I hadn't gone and done that. But I went and I did stay, and I did not come back. I lied at the time to my work, and I worked for an auto glass company. And I said, hey, there's a big storm here. And what I was really doing was,
yeah. I guess there was no internet, right? Yeah, they couldn't verify.
There was no internet. It's all my fax.
Weather map. It's clear.
I faxed them my resignation.
On his beeper. Yeah.
I stayed. I didn't go back. And, you know, wow. I've been back since a few times, but it's crazy, you know. So, yeah, I got into surfing, you know, I was way into that, and then ended up opening a restaurant and another one, and some little cabins on the beach, and then worked for some real estate stuff while here as well for a while. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's how you've made some income through the years.
Yeah. 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 I did pretty good with all that. And now I'm doing this, and I believe that this will also be successful. It seems like for me, I realize now that when you do something that you really, really love, then you're, no matter what happens, and especially if you're helping people, you know, like that's the main thing, you know, like in real estate, I got to this place where, you know, the old school was like, you got to push to sell and do this. I was kind of like my father and his father came out. And then I learned that, no, this is about being like the confidant of that person that's looking for something. And even if it means that you're going to hand them over to another real estate agent and they don't buy from you, that's okay, because you just care about them, you know? And when I learned that, I was young when I learned that, and it really changed things. And it really, when this whole awakening thing happened, then I kind of moved it right into like, you know what, it's all about just helping. And then all the stuff that you want of life, it's going to happen anyways, if you do that, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad you got there early, because I only got there recently.
Yeah,
and it changed my world. It changed my universe when I adopted lifestyle and that belief system. But truly, truly, yeah. I mean, good for you, because you know the state of California, I think it's pretty vacant right now. So you left before it became trendy. So that's good. So you're launching the book today, and again, congratulations, and we're honored to be here during your launch. What are the steps? What is the ultimate goal that you envision? Like, right, pie in the sky
for the book.
Us standing on the other side of this thing on an awakened planet, and all this stuff being healed, this real mess that we're in right now, on the other side going, whoa, that was something, and everything different, like boom, like that's me, that's all I'm about, you know. And people think that's crazy, but you know what, if one person doesn't know that for sure it's possible or that it's going to happen, then we'd be in a lot of trouble. So I'll carry that torch for the moment. I know there's a lot of others out there that, and after they read this book, I promise you they'll feel the same way. Anybody can get through this book, and it's always easy to get through. It's just fun read. But like, if you get through it, you will inside be touched by something, and you will know that this is possible, and not impossible, inevitable.
Love that. Oh yeah, where have we heard that before? Right, from probable to possible to inevitable. Yeah. Yeah, our man Hal Elrod. Go ahead.
Yeah,
who?
Hal Elrod, The Miracle Morning. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. You recommend a book to us. We recommend you to this book here.
Awesome. I love it. Okay.
Yeah, he's changing the world as you are.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So that is the call to action. I'm definitely curious and interested in jumping into your book. I don't often get an opportunity, because it's business, right? We're always reading business books and strategies and tips. But this is going to be a nice sort of seemingly break from it, even though there's a deeper message to it. What made you deliver the message in that form rather than in another one?
That's a good question. It's funny, because what happened was there was a download, if we'll call it that, of some information of what would end up helping us. This happened about, I'm going to call it, 4 or 5 years ago, and it was real strong, and it had to do with a piece of technology that needed to be created that would help others awaken. And I didn't know anything. I still don't know anything about technology. I mean, for me to get all this stuff set up today to be on this thing was its own challenge. You know, and here I am being told, like, and there's like a voice that speaks to me, and we all have the voice. I'm not special, but we all have it, and it just depends if you can hear it. And I've tuned into it, and it's like, no, this is the thing. This is how it works. I'm like, whoa. And I actually invested money into it, but I didn't know enough about any of the stuff. And I'm like, you know, I don't know if I can do this. And it says, oh, really? Okay, here's this. Bam. And it just gives me this book, this fictional story about it doing it and how it happened and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, I think I might be able to do this. And I doubted myself. And we had like some people over one night, and I'd done a few chapters, and they were friends, and they're like, this is good. And I go, really? Cause I've never, you know, really sat down and read books before or anything like that. And it ended up working, and hiring Amanda was a huge help for me, because she, wow. I mean, I got the draft done, but she puts things together and helps you take what's out that's not necessary, and has all the people. And that was like a huge help. So that's how the thing came through, is you're going to create this novel, and you're going to, you know, there's like probably going to be three parts to it. And Yeah, that's how it happened.
Go ahead.
I know that in the comments here, we're acknowledging a very deep conversation, powerful stuff here. I want to just inch down that for a moment more. Is that when we're talking about awakening, is it black and white, either you are or you aren't? And are there different levels of it? And once you are, is it game over? Congratulations. Or could you resort back to, okay, now you're not?
In my own personal experience, once you, we'll call it, once something has hit you, something that you've done inside that either happened or whatever, and it made you go, and you had that big, whoa. And it's just a thing, right? That happens at some point and it's big. Once you have that, you want to keep that, we'll call it vibration, the way it is. And what happens is every one of us is programmed, all of us, to be in a lower, maybe call it lower vibration, or to think that things are a certain way. So as I clean more and more, it's like an onion, and you peel back one layer and then you peel back another and another and another. And so when we ask, like, is it something that ends? No, I think as long as we're in the human body, we have work to do. That's the way I would say we came to planet Earth. So the idea to get is this: you are a pure soul inside of a human body that came out as a baby that didn't know anything. So you choose to come in ignorant, like, what is all this? And then you learn from a disturbed world the way life supposedly is, and your reason for doing this is to step out of that and in this inspiration into what we'll call God or whatever that is, and it's not a man with a white beard that makes rich people richer and kills babies. That's not a baby. It's not about that. It's actually a force that is everything and all things, and you are it. And as you clean more and more, that diamond within shines more and more. And it comes out, and you just want to keep cleaning more and more and more so that you can live in heaven on earth, because that's what we are in right now. It just doesn't seem that way. Your soul is perfect. All the answers are inside. So I don't know if that answered the question, but that's what I meant. And is there a time where you're like, oh, he's more awakened than me? No, I mean, there's just different places that people are at. You know, like I got this thing in my head where I always think that it's the end of the world. Every time something happens, we're screwed. Oh, God. I mean, how can you think that like that, Mike, the way you write and the things you do? Well, hey, it's still something I'm working on. Oh, yeah. So levels, no, I don't know. You could look at however you want.
Yeah, thank you.
There's a good metaphor I heard recently that resonates and connects with this, what you're saying, Mike, is if we look at ourselves as ice cubes, right? And we go through life as this cube in our own systems and beliefs and contained. But if we allow ourselves to melt into the ocean, into the collective, which I believe personally, that's what heaven is, right? We are this one body of thing and collective. I mean, how do you explain certain things, right? Oh, that's a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. Oh, you called me when I was thinking of you. There's for a reason, right? There's frequencies out there that we can't see. Yeah. It's funny because we believe in, like, I'm getting a text message, right? Or I'm getting an email. I don't see the zeros and ones. I don't see the words flying through the air and landing into my phone. But meanwhile, I'll believe this works, but I won't believe in a connection with humans on the same level. Why is it that so difficult to believe in when meanwhile technology is like science versus tech or religion versus technology and science? But anyway, going back to the ice cube metaphor, I feel like that is sort of a good way to sort of frame it. Everyone's walking around in these little containers, these little cubes, and all you have to do is allow yourself to melt into this collective mindset, right? So that we can all sort of get along and know that you hurt yourself. You hurt that one. You hurt that one. You're hurting yourself, right? You serve others. It's just going to continue to ripple, right? You're going to do positive stuff as you just give and give. It's a simple formula. And I wish people just would all adopt the simple formula, but there's too much fear is really the toxic nature of all of this. And what's driving it all is fear. And I know, and from gathering from what you've been saying behind and between the lines, you're in agreement with me, I'm sure, is I don't agree with fear being weaponized. When you can weaponize fear to control people, I am not subscribing to that at all. And that's where we need to get away from. People need to stop fearing and walking around on eggshells, you know, and trust in our bodies are designed. We're powerful, right? I hurt my leg, right? A big scratch. It was bleeding. I look at it a week later, it's healing itself. Wow. That's magic. We are designed we wouldn't have been here for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years if we couldn't heal ourselves.
That's right.
Just trust in the process of the body.
That's right. The doctors, it's a funny thing, you talk about healing something. Even they don't know. They'll all admit it. They'll say, we sew them up and we don't know that part, what happens when it does this. And that is it. It is a miracle. It is magic. And when you use I like the ice cube thing, but I would say that what we're really doing when we let ourselves melt is we allow and we become okay with what is. We get out of resistance. We say yes. We say yes, that's happening. Okay, I see that. Doesn't mean we gotta be a part of certain things, you know, especially the fear, the like you said, militarizing fear and this kind of stuff. This is, man, that's when the other, I call it there is a darkness. You know, there is, so we're living in what we call duality. There's light and there's dark. And that is a fact as we're here on planet. Is it really true, real universally forever? No, because we are living, as crazy as it sounds, in an illusion. We are, if you look at quantum physics and you can see that nothing is actually solid, it's because we are creating everything through our perception. If I say, well, where's Mike? And you point over here to me, the truth is, no, I'm actually in, you're creating me the way that light, it gets a little heavy, you know, light reflecting off the shadows in the room. And yeah, that idea of melting into a yes, okay, that's going to give you peace that you've never had before, right?
I love that, for what sure. You're saying, because I believe in that, and this is going to sound weird to most people, but there is no reality.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
There's no reality. Reality is a perception, right? An individual's perception. Everyone has their own reality. So when people are like, hey, this is what's happening in the world. There's this, there's that. You know, not really.
It's your context.
Mike living in Costa Rica is probably experiencing something a lot different than I'm experiencing here.
You maybe know. We should find out.
Firsthand knowledge. Yeah, is everything safer there? Because I'm coming to you.
You might be on.
Come on down.
You just found out 30 years before us.
Right. And then we go, and now it's 2051, right. And we're still there. Welcome to On Air Brands Live. We're shirtless. We're in Costa Rica. You're right, Mike. You got us for 30 years.
What are those tooth necklaces on?
I'm surfing.
Right. We're like the professor and Gilligan. It's like, boy, did Eric age. You got to-
Yeah, I mean, reality is what you create. Reality is how you perceive it. Reality is what you want it to be, you know. Yep. And the narrative, it's what you subscribe in, what you believe in, what's your core belief, and what is it aligning with currently. It's up to you. That's your choice. You decide what your reality is. Mm-hmm.
And I think what you were saying about fear is what happens is, or what I'm sensing and what I think we all have to push back on, is that we get into this fear mentality, and then it's like you even fear stepping out of your own comfort zone, because everything else, there's fear being created in the universe around you. So is it fear to even talk to someone, to introduce yourself to someone? Maybe it's a teenage, you know, a teenager wanting to ask another one to go to have something to eat. I mean, where does it end? It just creates this whole fear mentality. And I think we just have to get beyond it ourselves and remember that, you know, that we create our own destiny. We can push through, and don't become fearful, become right. Fearless.
I mean, fear is a necessary thing, right? Sure. That's how we survive. Sure. That's how we all got.
Don't run into the burning building.
You need it. Yeah. But don't let fear take over your body to the point where you're immobile.
Right.
Where you can't do anything in life. You can't step out of your house. You can't, you know, you can't talk to that person, or you can't get in your car. You know, what kind of quality of life is that? I choose no. My choice, no.
And it's a and what happens is once you make that conscious choice, like, oh my God, I've been immobilized by fear here. I don't want that to be the case anymore. Great. Now you make the conscious choice and effort to work through the fear. Whenever you observe it, just take the steps to conquer it. I was in Vegas a few years ago, and since I, at that point, had taken on the role of hidden entrepreneur, which is founded on the premise that I use fear my whole life to do just the opposite. Now I couldn't. So what did I do? I looked at that stratosphere building, 800 or 1200 feet up, where they allow you to jump off, right? Roped, of course. And I said, you know what? I'm scared out of my mind to do it, but I think I should. I think I have a personal obligation. Like, why not? I'm scared looking up at that. Yeah. But come on, I'm the hidden entrepreneur. I got to stay in integrity here, right? I want to make that choice, get through it. And of course I did. And of course you wind up loving it, which most often happens, right? Ironically. So when you come out successfully on the other side, you're like, oh, that was nothing like I envisioned like it was.
Right.
That's interesting, Josh, too, because is it also the journey down that creates that adrenaline rush that you say, wow, that overcoming that fear was probably more enjoyable than the actual fear itself?
Yeah. And also I have, I actually have the like 2 minute video, cause they give you the GoPro on your arm so you could record it. And I knew going into it that I was sort of doing it for my children as to like, hey, look, just always do what you can to conquer your fears. And on the way down, I'm like literally screaming in enjoyment, you know, dedicating it to them, like, which this great smile on my face, like, this is incredible. It's for you, Danica and Harris. It worked.
Yeah. We always say, like, you know, if there's something in the whole spiritual world, we'll call it, if there's something that we're really fearing, just you go right through it. And if you do that, the gold is in there, just like you just said. And you always, pretty much always say, what was I so afraid of? You know? Right.
That's so true. But it, gosh, fear can be debilitating.
What's that quote? What you're looking for is
on the other side.
On the other side of fear.
Yeah, your best something or other is just on the other side of fear. Yeah. And I think it really the reason we don't melt into the ice cubes, aside from it that it's a vulnerability that we have to accept and say, okay, I'm opening myself up to harm, to infliction in some regard, but yet I will still choose for the benefit of. I think it's also the idea that we are so habitual in our feelings and our emotions that consistently run through our bodies day to day, moment to moment, that we feel the comfort of that habit, that the minute we wake up, we're already aggravated, annoyed, frustrated, and that's what our bodies come to expect. Mm-hmm. So we look for those scenarios and make them so because we need that release of emotional insight into our bodies. So there's that discrepancy, which is why people just stay in that familiar.
That's right. I think we're talking really a lot about the ego, and the ego is just sort of it's something that all of us have and we always will. And what it's all about is getting in right relationship with your ego, meaning you control it rather than it control you. And I don't remember who said it, but they said that when we were given, we'll call it given the ego, or when it was placed in us, it was there to, it was about fear. And it's about, because there was, it could be a lion around the corner there or whatever. But see, what's happened is we're fine. The lions are gone. And we're not, those dangers are gone. And what's happened is we're left with this ego that has become unhealthy with the collective speaking of the world that we've all joined in on. And that's how we sit here today. And it's really important, I think, for people to ask themselves when they have a thought or when they're going to do something, is this coming from, there's two places it can come from. It can come from love or it can come from fear. And if you do that every time you have a thought that it's kind of like, huh? Or every action that you're going to take, you can change your life just by questioning yourself, you know?
Yeah. Mike, before we let you go, and we're winding down here on our 11, 11, 11, 11, 11 launch, our launch party. I'm curious. So if I found the book on the shelf of Barnes & Noble, I mean, what was that?
You remember those days?
Well, we used to do that.
Yeah, it's a relic. I imagine in Costa Rica, there's vine. It's covered in shrubbery.
Pick your book? I thought the book's hanging off the vines.
No, but that's good too. Yeah. But on the back, when it's enticing me and telling me, buy me, you know, what does it say on the back? What's the summary of the book to get people to jump
in? Is it really what it says on the back?
Yeah, sure. Or your version of it from the top.
Oh, okay. It's basically telling you a kind of a summary of about this man named Marcos Ogabi, who's a police officer who shoots somebody, and a young man, and in a very rough part of town, and the boy comes back to life while he's in the hospital, a young man, and when he comes back to the life, he's ready to start a revolution, and he does it first in prison, and his story extends from prison to a mansion in Malibu, and how he's taken in, and people are helping him with this process, and you know, it just kind of has a bit of that on the back of it. It's an interesting story, I think.
Okay, is there an audio version of it yet?
We're looking for the audio. What do you call it? The actor right now. So we're looking for that. Yeah.
Very
so
cool.
It'll be on Audible. Yeah, but right now we have it on the book form and the. You know, the digital, what they call that, you know, the ebook thing. And it's funny when you talk about it being on shelves, you know, your dream when you write a book is to see it on a shelf someday or in the airport. And it's like, wow, is this over? Is it over? I mean, I thought, you know, launch party where you sit and sign things in the United States. Yeah, that's gone. And here we are. And it's just a new way of doing things. And you know, I could get all bummed out and say, well, but, you know, it's like, hey, this is what life's handing us, you know?
Right. I was listening to something recently and it connects with what you just said, where if we let go of the connection to the outcome and we just fall in the now and just accept what happened, you'll be so much happier. Because what happens is we get disappointed when something that we expect to happen doesn't happen. So if you have less expectations, if you expect less or don't expect anything from someone, like how many people come to you and are like, I'm so angry. Why? That person didn't call me on my birthday.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. If you didn't expect anything, you wouldn't have been disappointed. Right. Simple as that. So the same thing with, you know, and I apologize for you not being able to experience, you know, the joy of sitting and who knows, it could happen. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that was an outcome that you were imagining to happen. And then, you know, everything got thrown up but it's just a tool that I'm trying to, like you said, continue add to my tool belt in order to become a better person, given all the circumstances that keep evolving or devolving, then, you know, that's how we stay sane. Right. And hopefully your book is a tool to help people stay sane during these times.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, to that, it is what it is right now. And I'm with you. You let that go and you just, okay, here's what we're presented. But at the same time, I'm ready to do whatever it takes for us to get back to a world where people can go to a restaurant and go to parks and whatever they want to do, however it gets done. And we do that, whatever that looks like, we've got to make that happen because, we're talking about freedom now. And that's where we, you know, like for me anyways, I'm a freedom fighter, you know, like I'm ready to get down on this one. See, because this is what it's about. And there is something out there that is trying to take that from us, in my personal belief. And I will stand I'll do anything to make sure that we
get this back. You're on the right show, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I didn't have any idea what to expect. I'm going, oh my God, these people are going to hate me. And because, you know, there's a whole other group out there that are like, oh, you can't, you know, say this stuff. And here we are. So thank you.
Well, the thing is, here's the challenge with that. And I know we're winding down here is, so as we were talking earlier, the perception and the compassion on that side is that it's for the good, right? It's always for the good. But if we are critical thinkers, right? If we're able to put the pieces together and the information that's given, it doesn't make sense, brother. Make sense. So just use your mind and figure it out for yourself and don't listen to what you're being told because there's something out there that's not making sense. Why is it that I can eat here, but I can't, I'm outside, but I'm inside, but I'm inside of a tent that's closed. That makes no sense. Why is it everything has to shut down at 10 o'clock? Is it that smart? Wow, this thing knows what time it is. These things don't make sense. So people, use your mind. We are intelligent human beings that can think for ourselves. Put the pieces together. Do they fit? If they don't, then ask the question. Why am I being told to do something if it doesn't make sense?
Mike loves that.
Doesn't make
sense. I only want to be on shows like this.
Good luck. Good luck.
That's a great time right now. If somebody says the opposite,
I'm with you, man. Because
I only
want
to be on shows like this.
I am a critical thinker, and I'm hoping if you're listening to the show and you take offense to that, think about being a critical thinker and about what you're given, because it doesn't necessarily have to all be true. If it doesn't make sense in your heart, if it doesn't feel right, it's not right. It's not right.
Hallelujah.
So, Mike, where could people, I know that in the chat, your team and Amanda have been given the links. Great to see you guys active in the comments here. Where would you like to verbally send people next?
Amazon.
Okay.
If you're talking about getting the book, if you're talking about for themselves, just to look in the mirror, just to look in the mirror, and like just what Eric just said, if it doesn't make sense, go, wait a minute. Let me just slow it down for a second. Let's just slow this down. What's going on here? Read this book and you'll find out why it's happening.
Congratulations, Mike. Thank you so much.
Guys, thank you so much. Wow. Greatest time of my life. Thank you.
Stick around. We're going to chat a little bit after the show. Thank you so much. Subscribe, like, share this with anyone that you think is going to benefit. And like always, I hope and we hope that we added some value in your life today. See you next week, folks.
Hello, this is Josh McCown, CEO of Viva May Hospitality and the beautiful Renault Resort Winery. I have to tell you, the secret's out, and the secret is On Air Brands. On Air Brands, creative agency, which specializes in launching podcasts, transforming live events into live streaming events, and social media marketing soup to nuts. On Air Brands has changed the game. There'll never be a day from here forward when you and I and our companies don't need to be on the air. Every brand needs to be on the air, but so few know that. So it's great to work with a group that are ahead of the curve and to find a company that has been built on the core foundation of the future of marketing. If you're ready to broadcast your brand like they've done for my brands, take the next step and make a change that can transform your business. Reach out to On Air Brands today. That's onairbrands.com. Yes, onairbrands.com.